Today's first reading is from John chapter 3, verses 26 through 27 and 29 through 30. They came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, the one who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you testified, here he is baptizing and all are going to him." John answered, "For this reason my joy has been fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease." Our second reading is from Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 through 6. When John heard in prison that the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those with a skin disease are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, everyone. I'm so glad to see you this Sunday. My name is Mindy Moore, and I'm the campus pastor here at St. Luke's Midtown. And I just want to tell you my personal victory of the day is that I was able to do those claps. I hope that you also had a personal victory. I also can take no credit. I was like locked in on Lauren. I was like, just do what she does and it's all going to be okay. That, I've really struggled with that in the past. So I was really excited to struggle less today. But we are so excited to be together. Today is a really special Sunday because it's Vision Sunday. So this is like a totally different type of day than we normally have. This is going to be a different type of sermon. We're breaking out of our normal series. But what we really want to do today is we want to look at where do we feel like God is taking this place called St. Luke's? And what does it mean for all of us to be a part of it? So Rob, Pastor Rob up at the North Campus, me here, we're going to lay out some of those things for you today. And I think the thing I love about this kind of message is that it reminds us that even though we're here, we are part of something bigger than just what happens in this room. We're part of a church that happens in many different places. We have our North Campus up on 86th Street. We're here at Midtown. And then we've got people literally all over the world who are part of our online community. So we get to be something part of so that's so big. So you might hear some stuff today and you might be like, huh, I didn't know we did that as a church. That's exciting. That's something new. Or you might hear things and say, hey, I actually knew we did all of that. I am a pro. I know what's going on. But no matter if you hear new information or you're just hearing things that remind you of what we're doing, my hope is you'll walk out of this room finding your place somewhere in this vision. But before we get there, I want to tell you about my favorite 15 minutes of the week. Because my favorite 15 minutes of the week happen right outside those doors. Kylie is like, you are pointing at me right now. I'm not trying to call you out for coming back in. But that happens right outside those doors in the gathering area. It's the 15 minutes that happen after this service ends. And I love to stand out there and just watch you all. Now, I do feel like that makes me sound a little bit like a lurker, okay? And I'm not. I'm not weird about it. I'm not just like watching you in a creepy way. But here's what I love. I want to tell you what I see every single Sunday for those 15 minutes. I see hope. I see relationships. I see people who I know for a fact 6 months ago had no idea who each other was. I see you holding each other's babies. I see you showing each other pictures of your dogs and their cute sweaters. Okay, I see you doing that. I see people looking at art. I see kids running around. I see connections being made. For me, it's those 15 minutes after church that I'm reminded why we do this thing called church. I'm reminded why we show up to this place. I'm reminded what the point is. And for me as a pastor, I need that reminder. But my guess is that all of us actually need that reminder. We need to remember that we're part of something bigger than just ourselves. We need to remember we're part of something that matters. We need to remember that there's more to our lives than just the schedules and the to-do lists and the going to and from or whatever your season of life looks like. There's something bigger than just us. You know, that scripture that we heard today, it reminds us of the power of knowing that why. Because sometimes life gets tough, and we need to be reminded of that. Today we looked at the story of someone named John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist was kind of an interesting guy because his whole life was built around pointing people to Jesus. I mean, he did some great ministry in his own right. He had disciples, he had followers, but at the end of the day, the whole point of John the Baptist was to shine this spotlight on Jesus and say, it's him. He's the one you should be following. But the hard thing about John the Baptist's story is that it has kind of a disappointing ending to it. I don't know if you caught that from the scripture. So in John's story, he gets put in prison. He is eventually executed. And I think in the scripture we read today, John kind of has an inkling of where his story is going to end up. He feels disappointed. He feels discouraged. And so John sends a message to Jesus. And in this message, he says, Jesus, was I right? Was it you? Did any of this matter to end up where I am? It's kind of interesting how Jesus responds. Because I think if I'm John, and I'm in prison, and I'm wondering if it mattered, all I really need from Jesus is a simple, yes, you got it right. It was worth it. But Jesus doesn't do that. Here's what the scripture says. It says, Jesus told the messengers, go back, report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and good news is proclaimed to the poor. Jesus gives John six stories. He says, that's all the answer you need, John. Because Jesus knows John doesn't need a cheap yes. John needs to see the fruit. John needs to see that everything he's done, everything Jesus has done, everything all these people that travel around with him has done, it's mattered for something. Jesus knew those stories are what makes it worth it. Because stories of changed lives, stories of hope, stories of this work that brings something into the picture, those are the stories that are worth taking risks for. Those are the stories that are worth dreaming about. And when we talk about our vision in just a second, I just want to say some of the stuff we're going to talk about, it's going to feel big. It's going to feel like, wow, can we do that? Like, that feels like a challenge. But we're not just going to talk about that big stuff. We're going to talk about stories. Stories that are already happening right here and now. And stories that make this vision worth holding on to. So, a couple of years ago, our pastors and some of our key leaders, we sat down and we did this like months-long visioning process. And I got to tell you, as we went into this process, we had a lot of questions. I mean, it was, what, 2021, 2022, and we were in what we call a post-COVID world. Now, some of you are like, I just got over COVID 2 weeks ago. Like, it's not post-COVID. It is still here. But we're in this COVID-shaped world. That might be a better way to put it. And so we're just asking lots of questions like, okay, the way we do church, do we do it the same? Like, the world has changed. How are we church in a world that looks nothing like we've ever experienced before? How many of you have asked that question in your fields or your relationships or your life? How do we do life in this world that looks different? So that's what we're holding as we're going into this visioning process. But I would tell you, even with all the questions that we had, even with all of the unknowns, one thing remained true. We knew that Jesus was still going to be at work. Now, we knew that this might mean we had to do things we didn't expect. It might mean that we got uncomfortable. We knew that was the anchor we could come back to. Jesus was still at work, and Jesus was still at work in this place called St. Luke's. And so as we prayed together, as we visioned, we came up with this statement that we felt like held all of our work together. And I want to share that statement with you this morning. We said, we want St. Luke's to be an explosive force of God's radical, inclusive, and just love, reaching hundreds of thousands of people, especially those who have given up on church or the possibility of a God who loves them. Now, I understand hundreds of thousands of people. It's like a lot of people. Okay, I think that's like more people than go to a Taylor Swift concert. Okay, it's a lot of people. And I know you can look around this room and think, there's like 150 people in here. Where are the 100,000 going to come from? But that's where, again, we get to come back to that reminder that we're one church in many locations. Not just our physical locations, but online. We have all of this potential to reach people and send that message that there is a God who loves them. No matter what their story looks like, no matter what they've been told in the past, that is true. So I get really excited about that vision. I get excited about the questions that causes us to ask, like, who's not here yet? Who can we invite in to know that love and acceptance and that safety? And so it's out of those questions in that vision that these four areas of focus came into vision for us. And I want to share those with you. So we looked at city impact, inclusive expansion, equipping disciples, and multi-site church. So I'm going to walk you through what those mean and tell you a few stories. The first is city impact. Now, there's a question that I've heard churches ask a lot, and that's, if our church left tomorrow, if we just disappeared, would our community notice? I think it's a good question for us to ask as a church. And when I think about the work our city impact team is doing, I think this question is there because they want that answer to be yes. They want to be an essential part of our city. And as our team did their work, they said, this is our mission. We want to change the lives of families from birth to adulthood by establishing a community hope center that targets the tangible causes of infant mortality. And they said, we're going to pick one way to get started, and that way is diapers. Now, I'm going to be really honest with you. When diapers entered the conversation during visioning, I was like, huh, did not see diapers coming. I did not. I was not expecting that. I was not anticipating it. But this team taught us so much. Diapers are essential. How many of you have ever had a kid in daycare? I've had two. So if you've had a kid in daycare, you know you have to supply your own diapers. That's no diapers, no daycare. And what our team found out was that in our city, 3 in 5 parents have to either miss work or school because they can't furnish enough diapers for daycare. You guys, this is something I've never thought of while sending my kids to daycare. I mean, that stat blew my mind. And they went on to tell us all this other stuff, like not having diapers makes parents make hard decisions. It leads to higher instances of child abuse and other things that are going on. It is just a whole cycle that happens just from this one thing of diapers. And so our team got to work. They said, we can do something about this. And in the last 2 years since we cast that vision, our diaper team has given away over 200,000 diapers through our Hub for Hope at the North Campus. 200,000 diapers. They've given an additional 100,000 to the Indiana Diaper Bank, which is just down the street here in Midtown. And one of the stories that has come out of this work is Kawana's story. So I want to share her story with you. Kawana is a single mom. She's got 3 kids. And every month, she comes to our diaper pantry. It's a place that she can just sit down for a minute and have a minute to herself and connect with her friends. Now, our team has said Kawana is like the best source of publicity because she invites everyone. She's like, this diaper pantry is awesome. You got to check it out. And she shared that before our diaper pantry, she used to drive all over the city. She'd find that they didn't have the sizes she needed. It was so frustrating. And now she's got a central place to go where she not only finds hope, but she offers hope to others. I want to let you know that in a couple of weeks, we're going to do a diaper drive here at St. Luke's Midtown. It sounds so simple to say bring a few packs of diapers to that, But bringing diapers lives into this vision. It makes a difference. So I want to invite you to be part of our City Impact Vision in just a few weeks. When you hear that call, show up and bring your diapers. Now, the second piece of this vision is something we're calling inclusive expansion. And I love this piece because it really describes who we are as a church. You know, our statement is St. Luke's is an open community of Christians helping people find and give hope. And we mean it when we say open. We are open to every single person. This is a place you can come and be you and be safe and find a home. And so we knew, we're like, we are doing this work. We are including and affirming LGBTQIA people. We're doing anti-racism work. What we didn't expect out of this vision was what would happen with special needs ministry. I would say this was the second surprise in this work. So God really put it on Crystal Hensley's heart to start a special needs ministry. She said, I want there to be a place at this church where kids and students and adults who are neurodiverse and their families, I want them to feel safe. I want them to feel like they can come to church and it's not that hard. And so she has created this beautiful community. And one of the families that found their way through this community are Josh and Haley Bring. They were looking for a church that could be those things for their 3-year-old son, Elijah. And as they started to get involved at St. Luke's, Josh's dad, Peter, moved here from the West Coast. And he said, oh, I'll go to church with you. And then over time, the parents became involved in a small group. The dad started singing in the choir and became a member. The little kids got baptized. It was this whole multi-generational family connecting to St. Luke's because of this vision that church can and should be for every single person. And you know, as people connect to St. Luke's, that's where the third piece of this vision becomes so important. And that's this work of equipping disciples. One of the things we believe so strongly here is that what we do with our faith matters. Like, if you come here once a week, and then you walk out the door and it doesn't change anything, we got to reassess that. What happens in here forms what we do out there. And so when we say equipping disciples, I think that sounds very churchy. But what that means is we want to help give people the tools they need to live like Jesus no matter where they are. It's as simple as that. And so one story from this vision piece is the story of Christina Welch. She felt the nudge that, hey, I want to grow in my faith. I want to do something more. So she was with us in June. You might have been here too. We had a sermon on women in pastoral leadership. I was here for it. I was like, yes, I love this one. So she heard that sermon and she said, okay, I feel like God might be inviting me into something, into a deeper kind of ministry. And then 2 weeks later, she heard the call out for disciple Bible study leaders. And she thought, well, that is convenient timing. I'm feeling the nudge, and now there's an opportunity. So she said yes, and she's been leading a disciple Bible study all year. Now, if you talk to Christina, here's what she's going to tell you. I was not qualified to do that work. I wasn't sure if I could do it. But I felt the nudge, and I said yes. I think what I love about Christina's story is that I could stop talking right now and let half of this room tell that same story. You've had that experience here. You've shown up. You've said, I'm coming from a place where I have been hurt by another church. I have seen some things that I can't forget. I'm not sure if I can jump in and serve or even like show up here on a Sunday morning. But I've watched so many of you say, I'm going to try. I'm going to see what happens. I'm going to say yes to growing in my faith in some new and different ways. And so I just want to say thank you for those of you that have tried that, because I know it's not easy. I know church can feel like a really tender and risky place sometimes. And I watch you. I watch you grow. I watch you try things. I watch you show up. And I just think our faith community wouldn't be what it is if you weren't here. So I'm so grateful for you and the way you said yes to growing like Jesus. You know, I guess talking about finding your place is a good way to transition to the final piece of this vision, which is multi-site. Spoiler alert, my friends. You are living, breathing proof of this vision come to life. And my gratitude is so, so deep for that. So, you know, we launched St. Luke's Midtown in December of 2022. And before that, we spent it was basically like August through November. There were 75 of us that met every single week up at the North Campus. And we learned how in the world you launch a church, because some of us did not know what we were doing. It was me. So we learned together, and we prayed, and we invested, and we hoped, and we showed up. And by the end of 2023, we were seeing 120 people at least in worship every week. That was amazing. It felt like that is incredible growth that's happening. And that growth happened because of you and the way that you've invited people in. So someone I want to celebrate today, and she couldn't be here today, but is Angel. So Angel came one Sunday, and I got to meet her first Sunday at Starting Point. I mean, we have pizza at Starting Point, so she's very wise. She said, yes, I will come have pizza with Pastor Mindy, and we'll have a chat. So we had pizza, we talked about her story, and then the next week she came to this class I was doing on deconstructing and reconstructing your faith. We got to know each other a little bit more. And then the next week Angel came back, and she brought friends. You want to know something cool? One of those friends read scripture this morning. I think about the power of an invitation. I think about the power of saying, hey, there is a place for you here. That changes our community in some of the most beautiful ways. Now, here's what is amazing to me. This year, since 2024 started, we've had about 140 people in worship every week. I mean, do you feel a little close to your neighbor today? You might be. You might be getting cozy in here. And so one of the things we're praying about is when we create a second service in this place. Now, today is not the day where I'm giving you timelines and objectives and all that stuff, because that's not where we are. But where we are is we're in a place of prayer and preparation. And so that's what I want to invite you into as part of this vision. To pray about where God might use you in the future of our campus. Where might you serve? Who might you invite? What gift do you bring to the table that is just uniquely you and that we need to keep making space for more people? The most amazing thing to me is that every single week I meet someone new. And then a lot of the times I see them over the next couple of weeks come back. We are creating something amazing here, and we just might need to make a little more space for more people to experience it. So I want to invite you to be in prayer on that. And if you want to like really specifically pray alongside and be part of that planning, let me know. I'd love to talk more with you about that. But for now, I'm inviting you just to be in prayer. You know, at the end of the day, I think this vision comes down to how we bring other people in, every single piece of this. And so I want to share one final story with you as we get ready to wrap up this morning. It's a story of William Booth. He was the founder of the Salvation Army. And so they had this like yearly, you know, conference that they always had, and he would always go to it. But then as he went throughout his life, he got to a point where he's like, I can't travel anymore. And he just felt really grieved about that and really wanted to get a word to this conference. So, because this is not a recent story, he went to the telegram office, and he said, I'm going to send a telegram to these folks, and you can read it out loud at the conference. So he wrote this lovely message, he handed it in, and that was a lot of money that he could not afford. So he's like, okay, let me edit it down. He tried again, he couldn't afford it. Finally, he was like, fine, I'm just going to send one word to people, one word to be read out loud to this conference. And when they read that word out loud, his one thing he wanted to get across was the word others. The word others. Because that's why we do this. When I think about vision as a church, I think it involves us. It needs us. It invites us. It's probably at the end of the day not about us. It's about bringing others in. And going back to that statement of letting people know that there is a God who loves them, full stop, no matter what. So today, as we close, I'm going to invite you. We have these little key tags. I don't know about you. Sometimes I need a reminder about what I'm about and what I want to focus on. So we got these little key tags, and they just simply say others. I want to invite you during the closing song to just come up and grab one of these, and you can take it with you. You can put it on your keys that you take. You can put it by your door, whatever works for you. But when you see this in your everyday life, because remember, we don't just do it in here. We do it out there. I want to invite you to take a moment and just pray about that. Just pray, God, where are you leading me to others right now? Who is someone else I can invite in? What can this look like as we try to grow and include as many people as possible? So I'm going to invite you to stand as you're able. I'll have the band come back up. And I just want to take a moment and pray over this vision, pray over us as a church. And when you're ready, I invite you to just come up and grab one of these. Whenever that time is right for you. So let's pray together. God, we give you this vision because we know that it is directed by you. We know that you are speaking into it. And Jesus, we want to be a church that is on the lookout for other people. Whether that is in how we serve, whether it is how we include, whether it is how we make space or grow in our faith, God, whatever that looks like, help us have our eyes and hearts open. Jesus, you have called each of us, you have equipped each of us to follow you in such unique and beautiful ways. I pray that we would, as we hear this vision, see not only your vision for our church, but your vision for each of us and how we live that out. Jesus, it is in your name we pray and give you great thanks for this place called St. Luke's and this community that we get to create. Amen.